Welcome to the Shiny Brightly Show. I'm Howard Brown, author, speaker, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, international peacemaker, and yes, a two-time stage four cancer patient survivor and advocate. Each episode will take you from resilience to hope and a whole lot more, because shining brightly does make the world a better place. Be prepared to be inspired.
Hello, it's Howard Brown. It's the Shining Brightly Show. I'm so glad you are with us today. We're going to cover a pretty intense topic today. And you know that if you've been listening to me or know anything about me, that my book, Shining Brightly, talks deeply about walking in darkness. And then finding a light to be able to lift up yourself, then lift up others. Well, I have such an amazing and important guest with me. I want to introduce you to Regina LaFrance. Regina, how are you? And thank you for coming on my show.
I am well, and thank you for having me. I appreciate being here today.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited because I just watched your trailer. You have a book that just came out in early February. So one of your early podcasts to help promote you and the story. Let me just read a quick bio about yourself. Author Regina LaFrance has come a long way since leaving her native small village, a place she called home until tragedy struck. Drawing from her direct experience, her semi-autobiographical novel, Shayla, is a depiction of the events that happened when she was violently raped as a young girl by a pedophile priest in her community. Her tell-all book further speaks to the deep-seated wounds and the trauma that have followed her into her adult life and striving to reinvent herself and find some healing. Shayla is LaFrance's sharing and the ultimate hope for others who have been molested and suffered from abuse. Passionate in the resolve of this issue, LaFrance has made her ongoing effort to prevent the unthinkable from happening to more innocent children. She resides in North Carolina with her husband, Dan, a retired fire lieutenant, and both are transplants from Boston, and so am I. So we have that in common. And I just want to welcome you to the show. And because we talked in the green room, I'd love for you to share. We're going to shine just a little bit of brightly right now. Tell me about, as a young girl, your dad called you the ladybug, and then you lost the ladybug, and then you got it back. Tell my audience about that.
As far as I can remember, from being around 6 years old to about nine, I always liked being outside. And my father was a farmer, so my sister was more like stay home with mom, stay inside, do house chores with mom, and I was always outside. I was very, very small, and in the summertime, I was very dark, and I had long, dark hair. So my father called me Ladybug. And my mom used to tell me that I was the cutest ladybug she had ever seen. So being a ladybug was very, very special. I would go looking for them and try to have them as my little baby ladybugs. And every time I found one, I'd bring to my dad. And he would say that, now be careful, don't be hurting the ladybug. Because it was so small and fragile like I was. When I was 9 years old, I began to be molested by someone that was a person of power in the village. My parents wanted me to learn music, to play an instrument, and the person who was the local priest of the village began to molest me when I was nine. And then about a year later, he violated me brutally, sexually, and physically, practically leaving me to die. So I did survive, and through my teenage years, my 20s, and my 30s and 40s, I felt like I was a cockroach because the priest told me that I was no ladybug. I was a cockroach and that my parents would never believe me. Again, because I was dark and had the dark hair, he said that I was not pretty and that I was dumb and stupid. And he called me all these names. So I would believe that no one would ever love me or care for me other than the attention that he would give me. So all those years, including my teenage years, my early 20s, I looked for love from anyone that would talk to me or give me attention. I was always looking for someone to care for me or love me. And I was always going above and beyond to do things for other people so they would love me. And it wasn't until I had an experience in 2015. I had a vivid memory of me telling my mother, please don't make me go. Because one of my clients came in and told me that she was very stressed out because a little girl didn't want to go to summer camp that year. And the little girl cried and said, Mommy, Mommy, please don't make me go. I don't want to go anymore. And at that moment, I had to terminate the session. My heart was pounding, my palms were sweaty, and I had to leave because I remembered asking my mother to not let me go. And that's when everything changed. I began to write about my experience and my abuse. So my intent was to create awareness, people raising children to look out for those signs. And when I did that, I discovered that I began my own healing. And when I wrote about being a ladybug, I went to the mirror and I told myself that it wasn't my fault. And the little girl inside of me was still hurting. So I began learning how to nurture my little girl inside, my inner child. And when I did that, I discovered that it wasn't my fault. I had to tell myself and learn a new lifestyle. And when I did that, I began to discover how wonderful it was to be a ladybug and the love that I felt for my dad and my dad felt for me. And everything around me changed. All the people that I love and all the people around me just began to notice the change in me and how happy I become and how wonderful my life started to be. And now I can take any situation at all and make it shine like a diamond. I am a happy person and I want to go into the world and tell everyone that is still hurting that they also can shine and they can become who they were originally intended to be. Like for me, I want to be that ladybug and I want to make it be known that it wasn't my fault.
Thank you for sharing that. So, for those that are listening, you're wearing a red shirt. You actually have a little bit of red on your necklace, and you are a shining ladybug. And thank you for sharing that. The metaphor that many people use is that they go into a caterpillar. Caterpillars not always attractive. They're fuzzy and creepy crawlers, but eventually that caterpillar can be a beautiful butterfly. And you have gone. And you are that beautiful ladybug. So I just want to tell you that. And but I want to take you back right now, and just share briefly, but because I watched the trailer, and I'm going to actually allow, you know, in the show notes and on the social media posts for people to click on the trailer. It's about a 7-minute kind of short movie about the book and about your experience. It's very powerful. It's very deep. You know, you were a little girl. You were a little girl, and people looked up to the priest in the village. He not only was the religious leader, he was the music instructor. He had great respect. And so, take us through a little bit. Just give us a, you know, a tease from the book and from that about what you remember and what you want to share.
That priest was actually the priest of the people. He was very good to the people. He was a good speaker. He was a professor. He was an author. And he was the priest that would do anything for anyone in the village. He did have a reputation of wanting to be with women. And he did have a reputation of having had a woman, a young lady, as his mistress before he attacked me. That young lady was able to get away, and then he began to molest me. Nobody in the village would say anything. everyone, I don't want to say worshipped him, but everyone liked him a lot. And people just looked the other way. And I know, well, I believed then that if I said anything to my parents being old-fashioned and being proud to be followers of him, would probably say, "Don't be telling anybody that." So,
You're a 10-year-old girl, and
yes.
this is unthinkable. You can't share it with anybody, and you're telling your mom you don't want to go to music lessons. You don't want to actually, be in him, and learn from him. And he impregnated you as a 10-year-old little girl.
Yes.
I am revolted. I am about to go into tears. You're a little 10-year-old girl. And when I saw in the video and read excerpts of the book, you took this in just an abominable way as the 10-year-old aborted, and he made you actually bury the fetus
Yes.
and told you were a cockroach.
Yes. And the night that we were at the cemetery, his mother and the neighbor had performed an abortion on me on the kitchen table. And I had a lot of pain that day, so she gave me a box and told me to go with him. And we went to the cemetery, and I remember being in so much pain. He made me dig a hole, put the box in the hole, and then abort into the box. And then he told me to cover the hole with the dirt. And at that moment, I told him I was crying a lot, and I told him I hated him so much. And he came over and he slapped me, and I fell on the edge of the shovel, and I cut my face right here. I have a big scar right here that from that fall. And for all those years, not only I thought I was a cockroach, I compared myself to one. I hated my face because that scar was a constant reminder of what had happened there that night. It was a nightmare. I was so sad, and I cried a lot. Then his mother cared for me, and she promised me that that would never happen again. And I always felt that she meant it. It would never happen again. But she, just like any other family at that time, she wanted to protect her family, not to shame her son and not to shame herself, possibly. And I really believe that if my parents had found out, they would also say, "Don't tell anybody," and they would just cover up so the family wouldn't be shamed. Because back then, that's how it was. No one was allowed to talk about anything of that nature.
And as you went into your teenage years, you carried this in silence.
I carried it in silence, and to make matters worse, my last 2 or 3 years of high school, he was actually a teacher at the high school, and he was the history and Portuguese teacher, and I never talked to him again, and I never did any work for his class, and he always passed me. He always gave me passing grades, but I never talked to him again since that time. But even during my 11, 12 years old, my parents still made me go to church. It wasn't until a little later, maybe possibly when I was 13, 14, I refused to go to church. And that's when my father and I had a falling out. My father was so disappointed with me as a teenager that he could never speak with me again or direct his word to me. I lived in the same house, but we never talked. And when I was 18, I had the opportunity of coming to the United States, so I left. I never looked back.
Did your mom and dad, or even your sister, they didn't know?
Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
And even now, I'm 60 years old. My sister is 63 years old. When she found out about this, and when she found out that I was going to write my book and publish my book, she asked me, "Why now? Why are you putting yourself through this exposure to the world?" And I explained to her why. Because I want to create awareness so other children possibly don't go through something like that. And she understood. She understood. She asked me a lot of questions, and she understood, and she supports me now. My main concern is that little girls and little boys as well go through something like this because the mean, vicious, creepy people out there are always going to be coming around looking for an innocent child so they can get their way with them. And the parents can never believe that another human being would hurt their children that way. But they do.
So, tell me about putting your memories and your thoughts in writing this book. You told me that you regained your ladybug. It was healing for you. How long did it take? And I mean, I know it just published out. It's available on Amazon in February. What was it like writing and coming forth with all these feelings that have been deeply buried for 40 years?
In 2015, when I had my flashback, I wrote about 8 to 10,000 words. But at the time, I didn't know how to write a book. I didn't think I could put it together, so I put it away. I put it away, and I never looked back. I was too shameful still to talk about it. I didn't want people to look at me as that cockroach, a person that was less than. I wanted to shine. So I just had this image of myself on the outside that I was wonderful, but on the inside, I felt always sad and depressed and no self-esteem on the inside. So in 2000, I believe in 2019, I was talking to a person, and that woman told me that she was a book editor, and jokingly I said to her, "Oh, maybe you can edit my book someday." And she said, "What did you write about?" And I did tell her, and she said, "I'm gonna come over if it's okay, and I'd like to read what you wrote." That day, she told me that I'd have to sit down and start writing. She said, "You need to tell the world what happened to you." And when I began to write, I began to feel free. I began to feel alive. I began to feel that burden of keeping that secret and being a victim started to enlighten me. So when I was done and I went back home in my mind, I went back home to the place where I was hurt and shameful, and I retired my victim badge. I told the priest that he no longer rents any space in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. And I said, "You go now, and I'm relieving you or releasing you for me, not for you. You have to go find your peace any way you want. But for me, I am now free." And I discovered the self-love and the shine like a diamond feeling. And then my mission became from wanting to create awareness for to keep children safe, but also to spread the light, to spread the happiness for people that may still be hurt in the inside.
Well, we definitely have that. We are aligned, and we want to illuminate and shine that as well. You mentioned when I asked you about the ladybug and the cockroach that in 2015 there was a young girl that did not want to go to summer camp,
Yes.
and that triggered that little girl in you that she was probably being abused by
Yes.
someone at camp, a camp
Yeah.
counselor or somebody, right? And she did
Yes.
not want to go. I would say that you are really now trying to, what signs should families look for to protect their children from this abuse? Because I have done very little research, but I heard that abuse usually happens from someone close. Could be an uncle, it could be a family member, a brother, it could be someone, it doesn't have to be just a male, it could be a woman too. What do they need to look for?
So, for a young child, boy or girl, if they say they don't want to go somewhere, and if they cry and they want to hang on to mom or dad's leg, be very aware, because children love to go places, and children love to play and be involved in activities. If they don't want to go, that's number one. If they shy away from someone, that's another sign. Children don't know how to speak verbally, especially if the abuser is telling them, if you tell anybody, I'm going to hurt you. This is our special secret. I'm going to hurt you more. I'm going to hurt your mom or your sister or your brother. So the first sign would be if that child is clinging to mom and dad and just does not want to go. And if you ask, what's happening, sweetie? And that child doesn't say anything, that's it. Something is happening. Now, a young teenager, 12, 13, if they went from having good grades and being a happy child and now something is happening, they are going through something, whether it's bullying at school, or they have an eating disorder, or they may be doing experimenting with drugs or something like that. You need to pay attention and you need to take time off your busy schedule and spend time with that young boy or young girl to find out what they're doing. If there's stress going on in the home and the 12, 13, 14-year-old is not getting what they need from mom and dad, they are suffering and they're looking for attention someplace else. So we need to be very aware, take the focus off ourselves. Because a mom and dad might be even considering divorce. They may be in a very stressful job situation. They may be having financial difficulties. It could be a number of things. That young man and young lady, they are going to suffer as a result of what mom and dad are going through. So be very aware because that's a very critical age, 12, 13, 14, for a young girl or a young boy to just go down the wrong path. And once they hit that bottom and they suffer some trauma, when they 18, 19, 20, they're going to carry that on. So those are the things that I would say. If you are in charge of raising a child, it could be a teacher, it could be a daycare provider, it could be grandparents, it could be foster parents. It could be anyone. If a child is around and that child is showing signs of distress, that's when you have to say something's up. If you're a teacher and the child is falling asleep in the classroom, there's something. There's something going on that child's life. And those are the things that I want to create awareness.
Thank you for sharing that. What are you doing now in your daily routine that's helping your healing?
So right now I am doing gardening. I am doing wonderful, beautiful recipes. I am speaking with people that I would never speak with before. Everywhere I go, I shine. Someone will look up at me and I'll smile and say, hi. And people immediately just say hi back. People give me a lot of compliments now because of the way that I just walk around. I have people come across the store just to tell me that they like my hair or something like that. And I immediately make a connection. So what I do now, I do a lot of listening and a lot of observing. We have two of these and two of these. We have one of these. And that's what I do now. I smile a lot, but I talk a lot less now. I like to listen. I like to know what's going on. I'm very observant of what's going on around me. And as I meet people, I can tell almost always the ones that have something. And they want to talk. They want to talk. Most of them, they want to talk to me alone and they want to tell me their secret.
That I will tell you this, that when I mentioned the healing, you lit off a glow. Your
Yes.
smile, your shine. And so
Yes.
in my book, In Shining Brightly, I wrote what you just told me about your healing process. We call it all something different. I call it finding your happy place.
Yes.
Finding your happy place, that's your stress-free zone that brings you joy in your life.
Yes.
Mine's the basketball court. But I also love hiking and biking, and I love nature. Some people like, as you said, cooking, art, yoga, meditation. I always say find your happy place and go there. And also what I take back from that is your awareness now is so fine-tuned. You know,
Yes.
it's really, really fine-tuned. Would you like to, I mean, you speak in the book about emotional freedom. Share more about how you're gaining emotional freedom now that you've come and shared Shayla, who is you, and you are Shayla.
Yes.
What would you share about how to achieve some emotional freedom?
So some people might say to me, well, it's good for you, Regina, that you were able to find your way, but I'm still living with my abuser, or my parents were my abusers. Or somebody may say, you have the ladybug years with your father. All I remember was my parents being alcoholics and being abusive. So I am very blessed that I can go back and remember my ladybug years. What I say to these people is look in the mirror and find something that you love to do. And when you can either get away from your abuser or find a little bit of time, go and go do that for yourself. Whether it's hiking or gardening or go, I don't know, go to the theater or go draw somewhere. Find that time to be alone and write down the things that you love. And then one at a time, baby steps, go to YouTube, pull up the I am affirmations and start telling yourself, I am worthy. I am wonderful. I am enough. When I listened to those for the first time, when the YouTube video voice said, I am enough, I broke down. And now I want to tell everybody, you are enough. You too can shine. Because we have to go love who we are inside. And when we love who we are, what I did was created an imaginary bubble around me. And anybody is allowed in my bubble, but they have to bring smiles, love, sunshine, and just pure, pure love. You can be negative, you can complain, you can say whatever you want. I'm not going to say anything. I am not going to engage, and you're not coming in my bubble.
I want to add to you that I talk in my book about isolation, and I understand that. I call that walking in darkness to learn from the darkness. But I don't
Yes.
want people to stay in that isolation. You stayed in that isolation so long, Regina. It was just for years and years and years, decades, you
Yes.
stayed in that darkness. So I don't want people to stay there too long.
That's right.
The other thing that I advise in my survivorship coaching is to be selfish in your time of need. And the other thing is to seek help, but also to take the spotlight off yourself. I found by me, when I was able to help others, I wasn't always thinking about cancer and thinking about my mortality or thinking about I'm not going to be able to walk my daughter down the aisle. But when you lift up yourself and get yourself in a place where you can lift up others, that makes the world a better place. And that's
That's
one of
right.
my mantras and all that. So
Totally agree.
I'm gonna actually put the sunglasses on here. We're gonna enter in part of the show here called The Shine. Oh, look at those, fancy! For those that are listening, Regina's wearing some really cool sunglasses, and I've got my shiny metallic white glasses on as well. This is the Shining Brightly Spotlight. Regina, tell people the best way to get a hold of you, and then share a little bit of inspiration with me, and then kick it back over to me to close out the show.
Okay, so lafrancemedia.com, it's LA and France, like the country, media.com, lafrance. You can read about me. You can read everything about my story in details if you'd like to. You can reach out to my publicist through the website and Facebook, Shayla, the book that tells all. And go to YouTube and look up Shayla book trailer so you can watch my 7-minute video. And if I could leave everyone with something, is look in the mirror and say, I am enough. And remember, we have two of these and two of these and one of these. So let's listen more, let's observe more, and no response is a response. You don't have to react to everything that you hear or everything that someone may say to you that you may not like. Let them handle what it is that they like or don't like and stay within yourself with love for self.
Beautiful. Well, I thank you. I know that the book is it's intense, it's powerful, it teaches, it's your heart, and you are a shining ladybug. And so thank you for being here and sharing your story. And I don't know, you probably helped countless people, and your book will be made into a movie. I feel it in my
Yes,
bones.
it will.
So thank you for watching or listening the Shining Brightly Show. I give a shout out to the people that sponsor and lift me up, my publisher, Front Edge Publishing, Read the Spirit Magazine, my podcast house, the Amplify You Network, and just thank you for your support. And you can reach me at shiningbrightly.com, and you can find out about my book, and you can find out about my speaking, my motivational speaking, and this lovely podcast. And my advocacy, which is so important to me, which is supporting entrepreneurship in Babson College, supporting the cancer world. Go get screened. Don't get cancer. Live a healthy lifestyle. And lastly, interfaith relations that makes the world just a better, more well-rounded place when you know the other. So, as we always say to close the show, we hope that you will shine brightly for yourselves. Go lift up others in your neighborhoods, in your communities, and the world will become a better place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Shining Brightly with me, Howard Brown. Come interact with me at shiningbrightly.com. And remember, keep on shining.